We are live. Estamos en vivo. Yo, finally. Yo, we are live. This is El Basement Podcast. This is the first time that we go live en vivo. And I feel that it's a good occasion to do that, man. I have my special guest, the Kid Plot, in the motherfucking building, yo. I don't miss Plátano, but the Kid Plot, el Dominicano. Dímelo, que lo que.
Que manito, how you been, man?
Chilindrina, man. How you been, my brother?
I've been good, bro. Just grinding.
I appreciate the fact that you could take some time out of your busy day. You know, you got a busy schedule and all that good stuff to come in. And meet with poor little me, man. Yo, like, you've been busy, boy.
Yeah, you know, I know you was trying to reach out to me to get out here sooner, but I just had to find the right opportunity to do it. And, you know, you my man, so I had to show love, man.
Man, it's been, honestly, a lot of people are surprised when I tell them, like, I know Plot for a long time. Yeah. I know Plot, like,
long time.
2003.
Long time.
You get me? Before the music, before
long
the...
Long time,
nigga,
yeah.
We used to walk around Assemblea.
Yes. Yo, before we even thought about doing music, bro.
Assemblea, bro, remember?
Damn.
We walk around... As soon as the Comte goes out, it was like, all right, we out.
Yo, that's 18 years, bro.
You think it was that long?
03. What are we in, 2021? That's 18 years, bro.
Damn, I can't believe I can speak in those numbers.
Bro, that's a long time.
That means I'm getting old.
You had, like, mad long hair with a whole
bunch of... Actually, I have it now.
Yeah, but you had a bunch of grease in that shit. Bunch of gel in that joint.
Yeah, you had your braids.
Nah. But I've had the same haircut since I was like 12.
Since I met you. I've never known you to have another haircut or whatnot. But you know, you rocked it, bro. I mean, that's been your look. You slayed, you made it.
Gotta keep the clean cut, bro.
How you been, man?
I've been good, man. Just making music, you know, same old. Just trying
for those that don't know the Kid Plot now, this guy right here, the Kid Plot. Let's talk about numbers. Numbers wise, yo, this kid right here, you do opaca. Mm. Anybody that says, you know, like, oh, I'm a rapper here in Atlanta, he's like, yeah, that's cute. when did the story really start for you as far as, like, the making music start?
So obviously I've had, you know, the social media thing helped a lot. You know what I'm saying? I had Instagram since 2012, but in 2016, I started, I've always done the fitness thing, you know, I've always worked out, I've always done that, since you've known me, you know what I'm saying? And what I started doing was I changed my approach. So I was like, I'm gonna focus publicly on working out, getting in shape, doing the fitness thing, because that's an avenue that people will accept easier than the music game.
Yeah.
Because in the music game, there's so many people that do music that people are like, oh, it's another rapper, another artist.
Another rapper.
No big, and nothing new. You know what I'm saying? People don't take you serious because there's so much. So what I did was I was like, let me do the fitness thing and get people to see how I do in working out, heavy lifts, because I'm a big bench presser. And I started doing that on Instagram more and more and more, doing a lot of big lifts, right?
And that's a better platform for that, right? It's a visual platform.
It's an easier platform because a lot of people, nowadays, more people working out because of social media. People going to the gym.
The whole
fitness
shit, right?
Yeah.
Yo, every other chick I see on Instagram is like, oh, what's your name?
Right.
Like, Rolanda Fitness.
Right, right.
So, Fitness. I'm like, bitch.
Right. So my tactic was, let me continue to do this fitness thing. And that's what I kept doing. And then little by little, my platform started growing. And then before you know it, I actually got sponsored by a guy named Kai Green. And he's a professional bodybuilder.
Okay.
So they sponsored me with their supplement company. And then little by little, my platform kept growing and growing and growing. So then what I did was, I was like, now that I got some eyes on me because of the fitness thing, now I'm going to drop a song.
Okay.
Now I'm going to drop a little freestyle in the car, because that's how it started in 2016. So in 2016, I dropped a freestyle in the car for my song Olay, right? And then Kai Green, who had millions of followers at the time, he reposted it. Tonio Skits, who was on Wildin' Out, he reposted it.
And did you know Tonio already?
I didn't know him. Nah, I had no idea.
He
sent me a DM like, yo, send me that song. I want to repost it on my page. Now, I didn't even know who he was at the time. But when he did it, I saw the DM. I was like, who the fuck is this dude? And I went to his page and I saw he had crazy numbers. I was like, okay, apparently people know him. So I sent him this. He sent me his number. I sent him the song through WhatsApp, the video. He reposted it. Yo, when he reposted it, I got like 50,000 followers in a day.
Oh, wow.
From that repost.
But wow. That's power.
Huge.
So power.
All he did was make me visible to his fan base. And then his fan base saw me and was like, yo, this dude is pretty good. Boom. They started following me. It came in a bunch of boom, boom, boom. So I went from like 7,000 followers to 57,000 followers in 24 hours. And it kept coming in day after day after day after day. When it was all said and done in a week, I hit like 80,000 in about a week. So then I was like, shit, I'm going to keep doing these little car raps.
Wait, hold on. When you get a boost that big, now, do you think about what you post a lot harder after that? You're like, nah, let me not post that.
So back then, I was like, okay, I got to keep applying pressure. So I was posting every day something. So I had like 50 songs that was already done. So I was just dropping verses, but not the actual song. Just
you
me
were dropping
rapping
like
live
a freestyle version, like in the
of
car
of the song. Okay. So I'm rapping the song live in the car. Mm-hmm. So it feels more raw.
Yeah.
So people, they'll listen to you more when you do it more face to face. Huh? Oh, the hookah?
Yeah.
So people receive it more. They receive it better when it's more face to face than if you drop a music video, because a lot of people do music videos. They'll listen to you more when you do that raw type of footage. You feel me?
Yeah, because they want to see if you, all right, really got this. You can flow over a beat type of shit. Whatever.
It feels more personal.
Uh huh.
So what ended up happening is when I did that, I was dropping a song every day. So I had like 50 days worth every day. Boom, 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 boom. I dropped my whole mixtape and my whole other album. And then what it did was it generated sales. So people, what they did was they came to my iTunes or my Google Play, my Spotify, and then they started streaming my music, buying my music because of those videos. And Tonio, what he did that helped me a lot, and I got to give him mad credit and mad appreciation. I appreciate everything he did, is that he actually got a lot of his influencers to repost my stuff too.
Oh, word.
So people in his circle, which had crazy numbers, was reposting it. So that's how the shit just went up. I got up to 100,000 in like a month from 7,000 followers.
Wow.
Because of reposts. And then, so I just continued that trend. And then, you know, every now and then I would still drop the fitness stuff because I still have a lot of fans in the fitness world.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of the fans in the fitness world.
So that just added and kept on building on top of each other,
huh? Yeah, because a lot of the people that listen to my music are gym rats like me.
Okay.
So, and at the end of the day, I don't care where the fans come from as long as they're here. It don't matter where. So a lot of people that go to the gym as much as I do, they listen to my music as well and they support, and that's kind of how I earn my living. That is how I earn my living. So that's how that happened, bro. And that's how, you know, now I'm over 200,000 followers because of that continued support from people in the fitness industry as well as the people from the entertainment industry that Tonio actually provided visibly. So, yeah, I just took advantage of that and I kept. But initially, it all started because of my fitness approach. I said, I'm going to focus on the fitness thing and build my platform like that. And when Kai Green shared it, who had at the time 3 million followers, it got to Tonio. Because he saw it, somebody sent it to him, and then he saw it, he was like, oh, this thing is getting numbers. I'm going to repost it too. And that's what we ended up doing. And then, like I said, it just took off from there, bro.
So, I mean, so you and Tonio Skits now, you guys like.
Oh, that's my guy.
So, I mean, like, como un padrino, mama, you know, like, he really welcomed you in and whatnot.
Yeah,
right?
No doubt. He's my boy. He's been here a few times. I picked him up from the airport just a few months ago when he came out here.
Right.
We was hanging out. So, yeah, that's my guy, for sure.
It's a small world, really.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have a cousin in Miami, right? He's from Miami, right? Mm. That he does, like, dancing videos or gets people. Like, she was in one of his videos. And I was like, Lanana Daphne, yo. She was in it. I was like, oh, shit. That's dope as fuck.
That's what I like about Tonio is that Tonio is the type of dude that even though he could be doing, like, major shit, he's humble enough to work with anybody. not too many influencers would do that. Like a lot of influencers on social media or even celebrities, they only work with influencers like them. And I know them because I've worked with them. And
so you've been out there. You've been out to North Hollywood with like all of them are staying out, right?
That's where I shot the first skit with Tonio.
Okay.
I shot a skit for my song.
Yeah, I've seen that.
So, and I was in North Hollywood. I went to his crib. I was actually in his house. So, you know, I was over there. I was over there doing my thing with him. We was doing a lot of content. But my point is that Tonio has worked with people with 1,000 followers to 40 million followers. He don't care. He's willing to work with anybody that's down to work. And that's what I like about him. And I kind of do the same thing. Like, I don't just work with people that got mad followers, which I've done. I work with people that they got 2,000 followers.
I saw that you did something with Old Divino, right?
Yeah, we did a song. We did a song recently. It's called Pull Up. We went to Miami. I called Tonio, my boy Christian.
Christian Dior.
Yeah, Christian Dior came out. That was one of my contacts. He came out, showed love.
He actually went to one of my parties.
Oh, for which
party? He went to La Rumba.
Dior?
Yeah.
What was it?
What's it called? What was it? It was, I think, DJ Nice. DJ Nice one from Orlando. DJ, oh God, he's going to be mad at me.
But yeah, nah.
But yeah, he's one of the heavy hitters. But yeah, and Dior pulled up.
Yeah, Dior's cool. He's from New York and he live in New York, but he be in Florida. Like, that's like his second home.
Actually, I was in New York when a while ago he did Jennifer. That's funny.
Jennifer?
Yeah, Jennifer, the Colombian chick. In one of your videos, like, you look like you were a lawyer. Oh wait, that's a Kodo dude, right?
He used to be my manager.
Okay, all right.
The lawyer.
See, look at this guy. You're working, man. That has to be like one of the most famous lawyers out here, Latin lawyers.
Yeah.
We're looking at one of his videos live right now.
He's like my brother. We talk every day.
All right, man. He's just a Venice too, right? I mean, you're a boxer, right?
He do mixed martial arts.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, MMA, not a boxer.
He
do that.
With a name
that.
Like Kodo, you know.
He
like,
do that hardcore shit. Yeah, mixed martial arts is, in my opinion, harder.
You never got into that?
Nah. Hell no.
Nah.
I don't like getting YouTube hit. I don't like getting hit, bro.
Nobody really likes
getting
hit. Those
dudes that fight, they don't mind getting hit.
They don't. I think they don't like getting hit.
It's but
like,
you gotta
they have the opportunity to hit back.
But you gotta be okay with taking punches to the face, knees.
And you gotta get knocked out.
Yeah.
Right? That's it. That's how you win. You get knocked out.
If I get in a fight, it's because of a violent altercation, not because I'm in a sport. Nah, I can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Now, before you used to go by Plátano.
Yeah.
At what point did you decide, yo, I'm gonna go ahead and, you know, like rebrand?
So let me tell you how that happened. So you remember JR?
JR, the Dominican, the Puerto Rican dude.
Yeah.
Dark skin from Chapa.
He was with me.
Nasty. He was nasty.
He was part of my squad.
Sumo?
Yep.
All right.
So Sumo and Brutal.
Oh.
Remember Brutal?
Yeah.
Way
Brutal.
Back. Yeah. So JR would always go into the booth and he wouldn't say Plátano. He would go into the booth.
Plot.
Yo, Plot. That's what he would always say.
Yeah, I remember that.
So I'm like, I like Plot better. Plot. It's like easier to say. Uh-huh. Americans struggle with Plátano. You gotta be
Platino.
Right. They would call me Platinum.
Platinum. Like, yeah, I figured they would say some shit like that. Like yeah. Platinum.
So when JR would go into the booth and say, yo, Plot, I was like, you know what? And then I would go into the booth and be like, yo, it's the kid Plot. But just I would say the kid because you know, when you from Jersey, New York, you say kid a lot.
It's that boy, that
yo,
kid.
What up, kid?
You know?
What up, kid? So I would say, yo, it's the kid Plot. So that kind of stuck. And then JR started calling me. He just always called me Plot after that. Yeah. And then it just stuck. And then I just rolled with that.
Shout out to JR. So you rebranded as the kid Plot. And you did big things. And you worked with a lot of artists here in Atlanta.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I'm looking behind you right now. You did a song with Bubba Klang.
Bubba Klang.
Damn, like, I really
did a song with Mighty Duck, too.
Mighty Duck the music?
The Viner.
Yeah, I remember from
the
Vine.
YouTuber.
He pulled up to Roomba one time.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he pulled up like at 10. I was like, bro, you're here way too early. Like, why?
Yeah.
But
nah,
yeah,
Mighty
yeah,
Duck is cool, man. That's my guy.
So
like,
is he still doing music?
I mean, I'm sure if I reach out to him and say, yo, I need you to drop a verse, he'll do it.
Is he still like considered
bro,
like a...
he got over 2 million followers on IG. over 1 point something million on YouTube. He got millions everywhere. He got like 3-4 million on TikTok. He's just a viral individual, but because he's funny as hell.
He's funny as shit. He was just fucking with his coworkers and his little sisters.
The pranks is ridiculous. And people love that. It's hilarious.
His little sister was like, I took a shower today. Shut up.
It's hilarious. So, yeah, nah, me and Mighty Doug did a song. I just did a song recently with Libra DeVille, which you remember, you know who V.I.C. is? Wobble Baby, Wobble Baby, Wobble Baby.
Oh, yeah,
baby.
Yeah.
His wife.
Oh, okay.
I did a song with her. It's doing pretty well. We did. We were supposed to do a video, but you know, because it's her song, so it's at the end of the day, it's up to her.
Oh yeah, yeah, it was her decision, right?
Right. So, but we just did a song together. I got some stuff working with Diesel. You know who Diesel is?
Diesel. So,
Diesel, the super producer.
No,
but he's
no,
also
no,
an
no.
artist. So Diesel, he produced Lollipop from Lil Wayne.
Okay.
He also produced the song that Drake just did. Kiki,
do you love me? Okay, all right.
He actually wrote some of that song.
Oh, right.
He didn't produce it. He wrote some of that song.
Okay.
So he's one of the writers in that song. So you know he got a fat.
Pero coño, ese tigre trabaja canciones pegajosas.
Yes. So I already got 2 songs with him, but this is the 3rd song that we're working on right now. So those are some of the people that I'm working with. So I'm just waiting to get the music put out. You know, I got that new song that I told you about before we went live. I got that new song with my sister.
Yeah,
give me some more. I'll let you hear. Yeah, with Red Baby. She's going by Red Baby. Her name is Bev, but she's going by Red Baby now. So I can't wait to release that. We dropping that Valentine's Day. So real excited about that.
Yeah, you know what? I gotta give you credit. Look, I'm looking at these videos behind you right now, right? Mm-hmm. And are you able to see it at all?
Yeah.
Like I'm seeing how long you've been doing this shit, bro. And dude, I've seen like everybody in your video, you know, like all the people that look. I just saw Guilty. I just saw Cap. I just saw King Tito.
Like Tito was my DJ. Tito went to Denver with me for a show that I got booked for. We flew out there. He killed it. He did his thing, man. Tito's a cool dude.
You be gigging, right? I mean, you were just telling me how you went out to Germany. Tell me about that, Germany.
Yeah.
Utzenstein, nigga. You mean that? Like, look, I only know about the motherfucking cars out here.
So it was actually, I was booked in Switzerland, in Basel. Basel, however you pronounce it. Basel. So I was in Basel, Switzerland.
Basel.
Yeah, that's where I got booked in. And, you know, it was for...
How did that happen?
So it was for a commercial for a gym. So mind you, this all started with the fitness.
All right.
He wanted me to do my song. He wanted me to rap my song as the commercial for the ad for his gym.
Okay.
So that's what I did. I performed my song in his gym. And then he actually got me to perform in Germany. Because, you know, Switzerland and Germany is literally right. Like, you could walk to Germany. Okay. I'm not even exaggerating. You cross over a little bridge and you're in Germany.
Okay.
So that's how it happened. So I performed in Germany, did my show over there. I did the thing in Switzerland. I was in Italy. I was in France. We flew into Istanbul, into Turkey.
Oh shit!
Yeah, it was like a 9-hour flight.
Okay,
because that's the connection.
Is that Middle
flight.
East? It's like, is that the Middle East? Something like that.
Yeah, it's over there in the Middle East. So
okay,
flew into Istanbul and then from Istanbul to Switzerland.
Okay,
into Zurich. And then from Zurich, Switzerland. That's when we drove to Basel, Switzerland. It was like an hour drive.
So and then you did like performances like at clubs.
Yeah.
How many did you do?
3.
3. And those were all like piggybacked off of the, or those were set up before you even
no,
like.
No, they were set up when I was there. It was, wow. The only thing I went there to do. Was
oh, why
the,
you here, yo, man?
Exactly. I went there to do the commercial.
Where?
And then I ended up doing the performances.
So they fuck with Latin music out there?
What? Bro, so in Germany, the main language is Dutch.
Yeah.
But the second language is Spanish.
Not even English.
Not even English.
Wow.
I went to the supermarket and I was trying to speak English. No, español. I was like, oh, perfect.
Yo, what?
I was like, perfect.
No way. So they're like, Utzenstein.
Right.
No, mejor en español.
It wasn't even a transition.
Yo.
It was so easy for me because we, you know, I speak Spanish, so it was so easy to transition. Even the taxi driver, when he was taking me to the airport, Same, the same thing. Like, even though he spoke Italian, he spoke Spanish too.
Wow. Wow. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, that's Europe.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. It was great.
So did you like it out there? I mean, like, you know, like...
It was awesome, bro. Like, that was one of my favorite trips that I went, even though it was a business trip.
Uh-huh.
You know, I took my manager with me at the time, who was my manager back then. And, you know, we had a great time, man. It was mainly to get the commercial done and to get the, you know, get more exposure with what I'm doing with my music. But at the same time, we got a chance to see the all the different cities over there.
What other places have you been able to go to apart from Europe, you know, like Switzerland?
Well, of course, like Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic.
No, don't say of course, because niggas ain't doing
it. Nah, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, and then everything else has been in the U.S.
Where? I mean, like, what places, you know, that stand out, you know, like, top of your head?
You know, the last time I performed in DR was in 2014.
Okay.
But I don't even remember the name of the club. I really don't remember the name of the club.
Do you know the city that it was in?
No, it was Santo Domingo. It was in the capital.
Oh, in La Capital.
Mm-hmm.
And where's your family from?
Well, so my mom is from Santiago and my dad's from Puerto Plata.
Okay, okay. Yeah, so you guys are from Cibao. So that's a whole other side of the city.
Yeah, my mom is. Mm-hmm. But she was raised in the capital, in Santo Domingo.
Oh, okay, 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 okay. That's what it is, man. So that was dope. So, like, when you got over there, you got to see family and all that good stuff, right?
Of course.
And they're like, Diablo, tú estás llegando para acá para ti, para hacer show, para montar show. How is that? How's your family taken to the whole, you know, like, what would you consider yourself? An influencer? Would you consider yourself an artist? What are you, all that? All of the above?
Well, I'm definitely an artist first. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm first. But then I'm, you know, obviously... The influencer part, I can't control. I mean, because when your page keeps growing and people, you know, start following you, watching your journey and supporting you, then you just become an influencer whether you like it or not. You really can't control that aspect. That just comes with the territory when people like what you're doing. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Is it one of those things that, I mean, like, something weird about that name influencer, you know, like it's like you influence and stuff like that. Do you feel that you influence change or you influence people's decision making into like what's hot, what's not?
Yeah,
like,
I mean, with some people you could touch like that. But, you know, some influencers have more influence on people than other influencers. You know,
I like how you put that.
Yeah. So it just depends on what you're doing. You could be an influencer but have minimal influence on people. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But then you got celebrities that are celebrities, but they're influencers too, and they influence a lot more than the regular influencer. You know what I'm saying? Like, they'll be able to say this is hot, and the people that really really fuck with them heavy are gonna say, "Yo, if this dude said it's hot, it gotta be hot." And then their mind comes in with that preconceived notion, like it's gotta be hot because The Rock said so.
Right.
So it's hot.
So, and I hear that there's a big difference, you know, like the macro influencer and the micro influencers. Mm-hmm. The macro being the ones that have like the bazillions, you know, the millions of fans. And then there's the micro influencers. Mm-hmm. But those micro influencers can be just as effective, right?
Of course. And it just, the way I look at it is if you're a micro influencer, it depends on what moves you're making. So if you're making like big, because you could be an influencer, but you ain't making no moves. But if you're a micro influencer, but you're making some moves that are actually dope, like you're getting radio plays, or you on the radio, or you working with celebrities, or you come out on TV, even though you're a micro influencer, you're making moves that people respect.
Right.
And then you go to the next level of influencer.
Now, is it possible to be in the status of a micro influencer without actually being aware of it?
Of course.
And like, what would you like, you know, like, how do you like know? Like, what tells you, like, oh, yeah, mira, tú tienes influencia.
Well, when you post something and you tell somebody to check this out, how many people support it? When you tell somebody, yo, check my boy out, how many people check your boy out?
You know, so it's saying? Very
like
important.
For example, and the only reason why I know about this is because they told me. So with Old Divino,
right.
I did the song with him. I tag him in the videos. He's even told me himself, yo, every time you post it in your stories or post me on your page, all of a sudden the views on my video go up and people come to my page to see what the hell is the kid
plot. Who's this guy?
Who's the kid plot telling me to go check out?
Word.
They may or may not comment. They may or might not even like, But then you could see whether or not I was an influence enough for them to go
for that click.
For that click.
Right.
So he'll look at it. He might have, I don't know, 1,000 views. I'm just making a number up. I have no idea. And then he's like, yo, I just went from this to like 5,000 or 6,000 in 30 minutes. So whatever you said and did, they listened and came in to see what it is that you're talking about. So that's part of having an influence. And whenever I post like a, because I do a lot of ads on my Instagram, like with companies, clothing companies, supplement companies, any kind of company. I did a commercial for a lawyer. So whenever I post something about those particular people, you know, it's if you're an influencer, they'll buy their product or they'll at least go check out their product and see if it's something that they would actually like for them.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, you know me. Right. So if I post something and say, yo, check out this CBD, you already like CBD for you, let's say. Right. But Kid Plot saying, check it out. You know me as a like personally, like mm-hmm. not as a fan, like personally. And you're going to say, let me see what Kid Plot talking about. You'll go check it out. If a stranger that you don't even know, check out the CBD, you ain't even going to look at it.
Right.
Because I don't know this guy.
Right.
So what's the point? Like, I don't trust his opinion on anything.
So it's a matter of trust, right? Building that trust.
Or your how much you are inspired by that person. Who's somebody that inspires you on in celebrity or on Instagram? Somebody that you look up to that you say, yo, I want to do what he's doing.
Let's say The Rock.
Okay, so you like The Rock.
Yeah.
So if The Rock says, yo, try my vodka or my tequila. Sorry, he's got tequila.
Oh, he does?
He's got tequila. But if he says, try my tequila or go see my movie, you're like,
yeah, I might do that.
Because he inspires you to get to his level, right?
Like one day, nigga.
Right. So that's my point. Or even if Jay-Z says, yo, check this out, you're going to check it out because you respect Jay-Z.
So what were some of your influences? Your influencers. Before, it was influences.
Well, The Rock is definitely one of, The Rock is definitely, you know, he's most people's, you know, influences.
Dwayne Johnson. You know,
yeah, The Rock is definitely one of them.
Come on, right?
You know, Ty Green, the bodybuilder that I told you about, because I'm into fitness like that. So
I mean, did you know about him before he?
Of course, absolutely. So when they, you know, when I actually got with them as a part of their team, I was like, wow, I can't believe it.
Starstruck.
Yeah, well, not star. I don't get starstruck.
You don't?
Nah.
Nobody.
I don't.
Who's the biggest celebrity you met?
I met The Rock.
You met The Rock
in Las Vegas.
I met him too.
Yeah, I met him at the gym.
Where? Oh,
and
you did.
I was literally right here. Ty Green was with me. We were walking around together. Rock took a picture with Kai. You know, if I was starstruck, I would say, Rock, can I get a pic? But I didn't do that. I just stood there, chill, let them take a pic. I didn't even ask for a pic. And he was literally this distance that me and you are in. And I didn't, because that's just not how I am, bro.
He really is bigger than I can fucking imagine. I was just like, Jesus Christ. This dude is solid.
And he's very tall, too.
Jesus. He's what, like 6'8" or something? I don't know. He's tall as shit.
He's like 6'4".
Whatever.
6'4".
And it looked like a mountain next to me. It was just like...
It's probably like 6'3". Something like 6'4".
He takes shits as big as I do, bro. Like, that's a thing. Yo, get out of here, bro.
He's stupid.
Damn. So The Rock, how about anybody else that stands out?
I mean, of course, like...
Any Kardashian or anything?
No. Of course, like, you know, artists. Like, Drake is one of my favorite artists.
Word.
You know what I'm saying? Because he's so versatile. He does everything.
Right.
In the music. Musically, he does everything. He doesn't just rap. He sings. And he's actually a very good actor. So, you know.
I'd be laughing at the skits that he does and everything.
Yeah,
like,
nah,
like
he's
on the last Chris Brown one.
Of course, Chris. Yeah, exactly. That shows you how good of an actor he is. Yeah. Chris Brown is one, you know, one of my favorite artists as well. He's real, real dope. So guys like that inspire me because, you know, they're doing their thing. Of course, Bad Bunny's killing the game right now. Like you saw, he was in WWE. You know, as far as in the Latin side, Daddy Yankee, you know, he's a freaking legend. So a lot of those guys like that. Nicky Jam, I just watched his,
The series?
Yeah, on Netflix. It touched me.
Bro.
I didn't know he went through all that. And what's funny is that I'm actually friends with Lely Hernandez, who played his sister.
Oh, word. That's
in the
crazy.
Show. In the show. Yeah, me and her, we follow each other on IG. And I sent her a message saying, yo, you did a phenomenal job. Congrats. She was like, thank you. I met her through Tonio when I went to North Hollywood. Yeah,
you know, if you watch the Nicky Jam thing on Netflix, right? It was like towards the beginning when he, you know, when he was like realizing that, like, oh my God, you know, he said that the crowd booed him or some shit like that, right? Yeah. That was here.
Oh, was it really?
That was at Belushi's.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
Why are you making that shit up?
I am not making that shit up, bro.
Yeah, you're my boy, bro. You're lying, bro.
They didn't boo him. They didn't boo him. But, okay, so look, he was booked at, remember Aquarius? Aquarius, it was over there by Lawrenceville Swanee up there. Mm. They booked him on a Friday night. We had, you know, Belushi's on a Saturday. We had DJ CeeLo for the first time on that Saturday. And shit, our event was doing well, you get me? And so we felt bad that the event went bad, you know? Mm. So we said, yo, come through tomorrow night. And we booked him, you know, like to come and perform like a few songs, right? And CeeLo came on to DJ. And CeeLo's an amazing DJ, right? He was just rocking. And then we got Nicki Jam to perform. And then Nicki Jam was performing and the crowd was just like.
So this must have been during the time that he kind of went down?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cuando estaba gordísimo. I recorded a video that's on YouTube of him freestyling, bro. Mm. Yeah. Cuando estaba like gordo con cojones. And what's it called? And then after that was cuando él se tiró para Colombia. And then, you know, everything happened. The next time we saw Nicki Jam was at Rumba. Mm-hmm. We booked him again. Y él estaba como que like, can't nobody even talk to this motherfucker. Yeah. Wow. You know, like, yeah, all the Colombian dudes, you know, like, all around him, like, representando y todo eso. You know, now, yo, I was glad. I was happy for that, you know? Like, because he's a talented guy, you get me?
For sure.
But it was, you know, when I seen that, I was just like, whoa. It, the timeline fits. I mean, unless you got, you know, booed somewhere else. But I know that must have hurt.
Yeah, nah, I mean, like I said, he showed a lot of that on his series. So,
yeah,
there was, like, literally, like, sing your old songs. He was like, I'm trying to give you the new songs. And they were
like,
not,
we don't care.
They wasn't receiving it, yeah. But yeah, he made a major comeback, and now he's doing his thing again.
So, I mean, like, are you planning to do anything, like, around, in the sense of, like, you know, doing television or anything like that?
Well, I'm a part of this, it's a docuseries. It's called Flex Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
We were supposed to shoot back in February or March.
I can imagine quarantine and all that bullshit made it difficult.
So COVID completely fucked it up.
Fuck COVID, man.
It messed it up completely, and we haven't shot because of that.
At all?
Nah, because, you know, the producer, she's, you know, she wants to be safe about the situation.
Yeah,
and it's understandable, you know what I'm saying? She doesn't want to be responsible for anything negative that can come from shooting this, so.
Yeah, think about it. It's just a whole production down.
Mm-hmm. So we haven't done anything. It's going to be a year. I mean, that was 2020, so going to be on Amazon Prime, so.
Amazon Prime series, that's big, yeah, that's big.
Very big, so we just waiting for that to kick back up again. We got La Truth on there, my boy La Truth, who I did the Wet Ass Pussy remix.
Okay.
We call it H-A-D.
Yeah, hard.
So we did a little remix to that.
I thought that was a very bold name.
Yeah, it was. It was bold for sure. But we got a lot of clicks from that. And then also we got Santia Beck, which is she plays professional football.
Okay.
So her name is Track Baby.
Okay.
On Instagram, TrackBaby001. Melody, she plays football as well.
Football.
Yeah, like football, like real football,
not no two hand touch. We're talking about like American football.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's like a league?
Remember the league where they play in lingerie?
Yeah, which is a little, you know, that's a little misogynistic.
But they hit though.
Yeah, they hit, but why they gotta be in lingerie?
Oh, you know, it's sexy.
Yeah, but that's a little misogynistic. I mean, that's kind of, you know. I mean, I get it because they all had some fatties. I ain't even gonna lie.
Yeah, yeah.
But
so she played there. You know, we had my boy Bolo, who's on there.
Bolo, that motherfucker. I said fight.
Oh, so you know Bolo?
Yeah, I know Bolo.
Yeah. So Bolo's on the show. My friend, my homegirl Leanne.
So that's what, like, just, you know, like, to be continued, or, you know, it'll continue later on.
My homegirl Jasmine Kadavid is on it as well.
Right.
She's got some good numbers too. So yeah, but yeah, it's just to be continued. At the end of the day, we just gotta wait until they tell us, yo, we back. So hopefully that happens this year.
Right. I mean, like, do you have any upcoming projects as far as like in musically, like as far
that
as like
song.
An album or anything?
So
like that?
So here's the thing. I got enough songs for an album. But what I've noticed, because I'm real analytical, I do better dropping singles right now.
Right. Why is that?
I don't know. Shit.
That's what the public does, right?
I don't know. Like, when I drop a single, it's like I get more streams, more numbers on my single than on a whole entire body of work. So I've noticed that when
Why waste the record, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I'd rather drop the 15 songs that I got one by one and make more money off of each song than dropping all 15 and make less money off of the whole thing.
Right. That makes sense.
That's
what
I've been doing.
That makes a lot of sense. Hell yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if I sell 1,000 $10 albums, but I'm selling 3,000 each song times 15.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I mean, yeah, the math makes more sense.
Even if it's $10 each, at 1,000 a piece times 15, this is way more money.
Absolutely. I get that. So, I mean, so you're treating every project like an album. You get me?
Of course.
And you know, that makes a lot of sense. You know, you're putting your money, you're putting your time into it. You're not letting shit go to waste. They're like, nah, I want you to pay attention to this song right here.
And focus on
so
that.
So, like, instead of promoting an album, I'm promoting this shit like it's an album. The hottest shit popping.
And everybody's different. Like, if I had crazy funding behind an album, then I would drop the album. Mm-hmm. But when the funding is not really big, then I feel like I've done, you know, analytically, I've done better with singles than I have with albums. Like my song Olay, I got over 20 million streams on Olay. You know what I'm saying? I've made a crazy amount of money off of just one song, Olay. And when I see the numbers that one song does, which is doing more than a whole album, and then I drop another single and it's happening, you know, repeatedly, I'm like, I'm gonna keep doing that.
Which is the song? Is Olay the song that you say that?
That's the song that really got me, because that's the song that Tonio posted.
Is that the one with the most views and numbers?
Mm-hmm,
what comes like second?
After that is Lit.
Lit.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that's actually the one right behind you.
The one with Mighty Duck. Yep.
All right. And Mighty Duck, of course, he got his following and all that good stuff and shit like that.
Definitely.
Now you at a position where motherfuckers is looking to get on a song with you.
No doubt.
Right? And back then, I guess, you know, you're just like, oh, yeah, I'm looking to do a song with, you know, this.
Yeah,
and now it's like they coming to you. So, like, how does it feel to be in that position now, huh?
I mean, you know, it's humbling, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't really pay too much mind to that, to be honest with you. You know, I just enjoy making music. You know, the only people that I typically make music with is people that I know that are taking it serious, not people that are just excited in the moment. Because I know a lot of artists that are just doing it because it seems to be a popular thing. Mm-hmm. And then they disappear for a year. You know what I'm saying? Those type of people, like, if they, you know, I have a fee, obviously, to collab anyway.
Right.
But if it's somebody, like, that I know personally, and they reach out to me, and I know, okay, they putting in work. They grinding, they recording, they in the studio. They actually really, really, really working. Then I'll collab with them if it's somebody that I know. And a lot of times I'll just do it on the strength just because I know them. They're my people and I'll do it for them. But if it's somebody I don't know, I just got to charge, because at the end of the day, like, I'm giving you more visibility than you're giving me. So,
but yeah. So you got to get something back from it. I mean, like, you know, like, yeah, it's your face card. You know what I mean? You know, like, you know, yeah. You don't want to lose your face card, because imagine you're going to promote something like, let's say, that doesn't get a lot of traction or whatnot.
Right, right.
You're going to lose more than you're going to gain from that, right?
Yeah, at the end of the day, like, if you ain't got a fan base, but I do, and we're collabing together and you want me to promote it and push it, then I'm doing more help. I'm helping you more than you're helping me. So it's only right that I'm compensated for that. You know, that's how I look at it.
Absolutely, man. And has there been any, I mean, like, you know, in this game, you know, there's a lot of motherfucking, you know, people that waste time or try to take advantage. Has there been anybody try to, like, fugaze you on some shit? You know, like, try to, like, scam you on some shit? Try to, like, take advantage of you, let's say?
No, nothing that stands out or anything like that? Not really. Because if it does, like, I shut it down right away. So it's not enough to even talk about.
Word. That's good.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people can take advantage of it real quick.
Oh, no,
you know,
sure.
Like, because they're just eager to work.
What I'm more worried about, I'm not even worried about artists. I'm more worried about managers and executives.
Oh.
Those are the ones that can take advantage of you And sometimes the artist takes advantage of the manager, and not the executive, but the manager more often than the other way around. But a lot of times the managers will take advantage of it. Like, they'll eat off their artists and not really put forth anything for their artists. You know what I'm saying?
And
that never happened to me.
Okay.
But I'm saying, like, that's what I'm more vigilant towards is right. the people that I work with. They want to manage me. They want to represent me. And, you know, I'm more vigilant towards that. I've had some experiences where somebody, a celebrity, I'm not going to say who he is because he's going to see this, but a celebrity, you know, reached out to me. I mean, he's big. And he wanted me to be a part of his production company. The first contract he sent me, he wanted 80% and I get 20. I was like, what are you sending me, bro?
80%.
Like, where they do that at? Like, that sounds like something that I would get and you would get the 20, not the other way around. And he was like, oh, my bad. And I guess he thought because he's a celebrity that I was going to be like, let's go. You know what I'm saying? And I did it. My manager was like, my lawyer. So I didn't do it. And, you know, you could tell he got a little bothered. He was like, I spent all this money on lawyers. And I'm like, yeah, but you're sending me a contract that's bogus. Like, who's going to give you 80% of anything? Like, you get me a deal with a label and you're getting 80, like, that doesn't, nobody does that. That's ridiculous.
So yeah, like, that's like owning you, so, like, you
know, 100%.
Like, it's like, bro, please,
right. Fuck so, me. So he redid it. He sent me another version where it was 50-50. And even that, I was like, man, I can't.
Now you got me pissed.
Because he just sent me a generic contract. That's what it was the first time. Second time was more catered to me.
Some pendejo contract. Like, yeah.
You know what? He's excited because he knows who I am and maybe he'll. Because he knew. He was like, yo, this dude, I know I could get him signed. He felt it because he knew everybody. He knew Mark Anthony, Jennifer Lopez, everybody. And now he's going to know I'm talking about it. But at the end of the day, I don't
care. Might as well say his name.
No, I'm not going to say his name.
Why not?
No, I'm not going to say his name. But at the end of the day, like, he knew that first contract was ridiculous and that it wasn't going down. Like, I guess he knew when I told him, yo, it's not, you know, I need you to send me something that's more realistic. And then he did. And then, you know, the 50-50 was still not, I was like, nah, bro, that's still too much. So he got mad. He was like, I don't know if he got mad, but you could tell he wasn't happy. He was like, you know what? Good luck with your manager. That's what he told me.
Oh, okay. So you caught it. And don't be mad that somebody did their homework, did their diligence, they actually read through shit, and did it just sign.
I mean, he's friends with everybody. I mean, he's friends with everybody, like Prince Royce, everybody.
So that guy that plot is a smart, you know? Like, tell everybody plot is smart.
Yeah, and we ain't got no drama now. Like, we cool, because it's not like, it was nothing happened. There was no hard feelings at all.
No harm, no foul.
Right.
So why cry about lawyers?
Oh, because he spent money on getting the contracts done, according to him.
Pero eso, en comparación con, you know, algo grande. I mean, that ain't shit, bro. You mad?
That's what I said. That's what my mindset was. But, right? You know.
You got lawyers on retainer, bro. Like, what the fuck? Yo.
Exactly.
Nigga trying to guilt you into it. Like, you know how much that costs.
Yeah. Nigga, he was like, every time I got to get it modified, I got to pay this, that. And I'm like, bro, I mean.
A tu diligencia, entonces. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, like, then be smarter, you know. Like,
yo, after I did that Olay song in 2016, when I had everybody repost it, I had, what's his name, reach out to me. The label that Romeo Santos is with.
God, I wish I knew.
Jay-Z's label, Rock Nation Latino.
Oh, okay.
So the executive from them reached out to me. He's like, I got the DM still. He was like, yo, you definitely dope. You special. We got to talk. You know, my manager hit him up. And same thing. The deals is just
bogus.
We can't agree, bro.
Trying to get like 360s? They trying to get you on the 360s?
Yeah. We just can't agree. Like, we reached out, we spoke. Oh, I didn't speak. My manager did. I don't know what the hell happened because I wasn't a part of the conversation, but nothing. It didn't come out apparently the way my team wanted it to come out. So I was just like, oh, bro, I'm just better off continuing to do my thing. I'm making money by myself anyway.
So do you have like blind trust with the team that you have now with your lawyers and your management?
Well, I don't have no manager now. I'm 100% independent now.
Oh, okay.
I'm doing everything by myself right now. Like I don't.
Is that a lot?
It is a lot. I would rather have a manager, but you know,
it's a lot of trust.
You gotta have the right manager. You gotta have somebody that you feel is a closer that can sell. Because at the end of the day, he's selling me, and you gotta be able to sell the person that you're representing.
Right.
And if you're not a good salesperson, then you're not gonna close it. That was the whole purpose of the trip to Europe. You know, we had.
And you a salesman. I know you to be a salesman. You've been a salesman since I met you.
Long time. So I, because of that.
Yeah.
I peep game.
Right.
So I'm listening to everything that these people are saying, and I'm like, it don't look right if I represent myself.
You know that. Yeah.
So I gotta shut the hell up, let this dude talk, and let him represent me and hope for the fucking best.
Right.
So I'm chilling, I'm listening, I'm like, I would not have said that. I'm like, I wouldn't have approached it like that.
Let me say it.
And I'm like, and I'm pissed because I wanna say something that I know would get us closer to the deal we want, but I can't say anything because it's like, what you got this guy here for then if you're going to speak and for yourself? You know what I'm saying? So I was like in a tight spot, bro. I was like, man. So now I just represent myself. I don't care. At the end of the day, I make music for my fans and that's it.
So do you like this independent route? I mean, like, you know.
I like it because I ain't got to answer nobody. I drop music when I want. I make what I want. I don't need nobody else's opinion on anything that I do.
Right.
It's if I like it, I release it.
All right.
Well, before I had to get other people's opinion and shit.
Right. And that's the difference, you know, like apart from the money, you know, like that, them taking a chunk of everything that you make, right? Right. I mean, coño, imagínate, loco. They thaw. They get money from your likeness. It's in there, your likeness. De que la apariencia tuya. You know, you have a look. You know, mm-hmm. You have the plátano look. Mm-hmm. I could draw plátano and niggas would be like, oh, that's plot. You feel me? There's a like, they get rights to that.
Right, right, right.
Like, nah, that's some bullshit, bro.
Right, right.
And you know, like, yeah, you know, that used to be the dream, but the game changed, right? Right, and, right. And independent is definitely the route to go. I know it's a longer road. You get me?
Independent is better, but it's harder. It's harder because the giants are still the labels.
Oh, absolutely.
They're billion-dollar companies.
Yeah.
And these giants control everything.
Media.
I mean,
they control media.
Yo, at the end of the day, like, they have so many people that respect them and listen to them because of how big they are, how much money they have. They control radio. They really do. Like, unless you have a song that's so viral on social media that's undeniably viral, you know what I'm saying? Like, then radio is like, well, we gotta play this. It's getting played everywhere. We look stupid not playing it. But, for example, like, when you hear songs from an artist, I'm sure this happened to you. You hear a song on the radio from somebody that you're like, this shit is trash. I'm sure you've heard a song that you thought was trash on the radio.
A million times. Then you hear it enough that you start liking it.
That's what you call control of the mind. They control what you're going to hear, and they make you like it. Even if you don't like it,
because you can do it independently. You go over there, give them $5,000. They'll play your record 2-3 times.
Even though that's illegal, but they will.
Yes, illegal.
Payola is illegal.
Yeah,
but payola. They will definitely do it indirectly. Like, okay, yeah. I'll pay you to
I'm
do this.
I'm paying for ads.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And of course, bro, I've been offered that.
But like I said, your money's only going to take you a certain amount away. You get me? It's very different than from a record label going like, you know what we do. you know what we can do for you.
That's my point.
So it's like, you're going to play this record.
Exactly.
Again.
If a record
and
label.
Again,
if a,
and again.
Song.
And again.
Yo, song. If a record label comes to you, both your ears are open.
All day.
A street nigga come to you, you listening, but it ain't the same.
Nah.
Because you know the budget is virtually unlimited with a label.
It's huge.
So you're going to respond totally different when a multi-billion-dollar company reaches out to you. Anything that you, if they come out to you and say, yo, song, we like your podcast. You're like, yo, what we doing? How we going to move? A nigga from the street, they might have $100,000 in his pocket. You're going to listen because you know he got money.
Yeah, but $100,000 going to run out quick.
Exactly. It's not the same.
It's not. It's
so,
not.
Exactly.
I hear that. So, I mean, like, so you've wisened up to the fugaze of you know what this industry can be, right? And you got smart, you got
had to,
and you're still here, you're still doing your thing, you're still moving, right? What's it called? You got any collaborations that are coming up that you really want to talk about or anything like that?
Well, like
you
I know? Said earlier, the one I got with my sister.
Oh, that's a big one. And you're going to drop that on
Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day, yep, right? And you went real...
Yes.
De corazón, de corazón, de pecho.
This is the first time in my life that I actually do a song, and I actually say it in the song, that it's the first time that I actually speak about my personal life in my bars, you know what I'm saying, about
family,
you know, the way I came up, crianza, my father, and I had to because my sister was talking about reality of what she went through, so I had to bring up, I had to spit facts, I couldn't make nothing up, you know, which I hate to do anyway, but sometimes you try to recreate a scenario that you've seen other people go through in right. your own music. But this was not a recreation. This was actually something that I went through. So it's so easy to write. And like I told you in the car, when I did this song with my sister, it's called Give Me Some More. It's coming out Sunday. The video is coming out. I was like, when I went into the book, when I was writing the song, I'm not even going to lie, bro. No cap, I fucking teared up. Every time I got to the part of, you know, my father, every time I was like, and I started, it got to the point where I laughed at myself. I'm like, bro, I'm like, pero venga acá, ¿cuántas veces yo voy a hacer esta vaina? Like, I was over and over, like, again. And then when I got into the booth, it was even worse. It was like, because now I'm trying to record it to the point where I'm happy with the way it sounds. Because, you know, when you record, you want it to sound a certain way.
And it has to have feeling,
and it got to have feeling when you say it, which finally I conveyed the feeling that I wanted to convey in the verse, or in specifically in those bars. And when I got in there and I started recording it, I was like, every time, it took me 7 tries, bro. Just those 4 bars. 7 fucking tries to get my voice to not get like I was crying inside. But that's what happens when something that really touches you hits you. You have no choice. Like, if you could be the hardest nigga in the world, bro, your mother and your father or your son or your daughter is going to hit you.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn how gangster you is, bro. It's going to hit you to the point where you, if it's something negative towards someone that you that you love or that gave you life or that you gave life to, and you know it was a fucked up situation, it's going to hit you and it's going to make you respond a certain way that you don't want people to see, you know?
Is it easy to put out your actual, you know, something that...
It was not
It's
easy.
A heartstring. It's a heartstring.
Nah, it was not easy.
It's, I imagine that it's difficult to put that out there to the public.
Bro,
you know what I mean? Because now you're giving somebody something that you can... You know, get a reaction out of you and stuff like that, right? Can you tell me more about that? You know, like,
I mean, the reason why I did it was because, like I said, my sister, she her verse was reality. She didn't make up nothing, and I was like, you know what, man, I'm gonna go ahead and get out of my comfort zone.
Right.
I'm gonna speak on something that I know is relatable because I'm not the only person in the world that grew up without a father. So because I know that, I said, you know what, I'm going to spit something that is real, that's relatable, that people are going to be able to say, damn, I felt that. So not only were the lyrics something you could feel, but I had to make sure I say it in a manner that people could feel. Because right. you could say something, but if you don't say it with that tone of voice that, you know, if you beefing with somebody and you laughing, niggas is laughing. They like, man, this nigga ain't serious.
Yeah.
But if you say it mad, like you ready to fight, people are like, oh, it'll get you hyped. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I did. I was like, I gotta make sure I say this the way I truly feel.
Right.
So that part was easy because that's how I felt when I rapped it. So it came out exactly how I wanted to once I got out of the emotions of tears and sadness out of it.
All right, but you're happy with what came out, right?
100%,
100%. And so that's gonna come out this Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Damn, it's already fucking Valentine's Day. Right?
It's the 11th.
Like, it's already been a year of COVID.
Shout out to my brother, Big Tony. His birthday's today. Happy birthday, Tony. I love you.
All right. Shout out to Tony. Any other shout outs you want to do right now?
I got to give a shout out to my boy, Lone Wolf.
Okay.
Lone Wolf is my boy, Chino. His name is Chino Marin. He's an artist. He does like rock, heavy metal type stuff.
Okay.
And I really like his music. He's really dope. Me and him have been friends for about a good 4 or 5 years now. really dope artist. So shout out to Lone Wolf. Shout out to Old Divino, one of my boys. He calls me every now and then, shows me mad love, always says, yo.
He was just here a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I know. Old Divino always hits me up and he's like, yo, I'm just checking on you. Just you know, just to shoot the shit, talk to you. So I really love him for that. He's my boy for sure. You know, I got to give him a shout out. And of course, you know, my sister, you know, my other brother, Walter, my mother, and everybody else that be showing me support for sure.
All right. That's no doubt. What's it called? Like, what's the easiest way for people to get your music, find your stuff? You know, like you have a website, you know, like what's the.
Yeah. Well, you know, nowadays websites are bullshit.
Pointless.
Everything is social media.
Yeah. It's so, just linking.
Yeah, exactly. LinkedIn. And then it shows you all your social media platforms. But
what's it called? Linktree?
Yeah, like, Linktree. Yeah, Linktree, exactly. Not LinkedIn, Linktree. LinkedIn is more business related. Yeah. But Linktree, but no. I got everything is The Kid Plot. So The Kid Plot, just like you see my chain, but with a the in front. So YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. I'm verified on everything. So yeah, man, you know, show me some love. Check me out. Like I said, I got my new song this Sunday. It's going to be lit. Already in 24 hours when I posted the verse of my new song Sunday, it broke 100,000 views in a day. And I got like
100,000
over 10,000.
I would have to add up all my shit.
over 10,000 likes. Yeah, hundreds and hundreds of comments. So it's definitely been received because, again, it's something relatable that a lot of people go through. So they was really feeling it. I got a lot of reposts from it. So yeah, man, I'm excited about that, bro.
Well, I am really humbled and I'm so happy the fact that you would take the time to come out.
You
here.
My guy, bro.
Yeah, I know that we don't talk every day.
Nah, of course not. But you know, it's let me tell you something, bro. Like, I got a lot of friends that I don't even talk to no more, right? Right. But there's certain people that I fuck with. It's the type of friends that when you do talk again, it's like you spoke yesterday.
Those are the friendships that require little maintenance.
It's the type of people that you say, damn, it's like we kicked off right where we left off. Like it's almost like we never stopped talking. Like one of my friends, her name is Kader. Mm-hmm. She, me and her have been friends since I was a teenager. And she knows Guilty as well. And I met her through Guilty. And me and her, we always say that. It was like, yo, every time we talk, we could go years without talking. And then when we talk on the phone, hour or more. And it's like...
Picking up right where you left off.
The confianza is exactly the same.
Right.
Even though you have so much time that goes by. So many memories you created without them, but yet... It's like you never stop talking.
I feel like it was just the other day that you used to live over there on the same street on Jones Mill where me and Jay lived at.
Oh man, we've come up a lot from then.
Remember we played Call of Duty and shit?
We've come up a lot since then, bro.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you know, and I'm proud to see that you've done all this, man. Yeah, you've done all this and all this good stuff. There's never been no hate on my behalf.
Appreciate it, bro.
And what's it called? I shut anybody down that ever tries to say anything negative. You know why? Because you did your goddamn thing and you didn't ask nobody for no help.
Nobody. And that's part of that's part of the game, man. Anybody that comes up, one of the things that really, you know, I don't have respect for people that, if somebody's making moves and they're progressing and they're doing their thing and all they focus on is, well, the only reason why he did that is because of this, or the only reason why he made it higher is because of this, or he's doing that, or he's this, or he's... It's like, who does... Like, why would you... All that energy you put in on trying to diminish that person's success, put it towards yourself to make yourself come up.
That's hater energy right there.
Like, why would you do that? Like... All that energy, you could be focused on making yourself come up instead of diminishing somebody else's come up. Like, I never hate on nobody. I be showing everybody love. I like their stuff. I comment on their stuff. Even people that has dissed me in years ago, I'm on their page and I show
love.
Hold
on. That just reminded me. hold on. You have gotten real political on Facebook, my guy.
Oh, no. I don't talk.
No. Is that I'm the Jamil Fernandez side? Hey, listen, or is that man. The good plot?
Listen.
You got real political.
I don't want to talk about that.
You don't want to talk about the politics?
If we talk about that, I'm gonna leave.
Okay. No. I just wanted to say was that came.
Real talk, I don't want to talk about that.
All right. Nah. No. Right, we'll leave that to the side. The politics to the side.
Appreciate it.
All right, no doubt.
That's something that I don't
care. Calienta la gente.
Yeah, when it comes to religion and politics, I don't like to get involved with that because everybody has different opinions. So yeah.
That's true. That's real true.
At the end of the day, religion and politics is the same thing. Virtually.
Yeah, like to a certain extent.
Once you believe in one thing, no hay quien lo saque de eso. It's done.
I mean,
you have to have an open mind, in my opinion. If you don't have an open mind, then I don't want to talk to you.
Right.
It is what it is. Even with religion. If you got Jehovah's Witnesses, you got Catholics, you got Pentecostals, you got Christians, you know. Once they believe that what they're doing is the right thing, somebody else from another says something, nope, you're fake.
Yeah,
you're false.
You're cut
off
right away. Yeah, no.
Yo, but I'm giving you evidence, not that's fake evidence. And same thing with politics. So, because I've been on both sides, I've supported both sides.
Right.
Because I try to look at what's right and wrong, what's fact and what's bullshit. So that's why I don't even want to get involved with that because.
I'll leave it at this. I can't believe that I'm about to quote fucking Ice-T. But Ice-T said something. He said, left wing, right wing is still the same bird.
Yeah.
Wow. I was like, mic drop, nigga.
That's
mic
real.
Drop. Left wing, right wing is still the same bird.
That's
nigga.
Real. That's real.
Bon mente.
Ya lo sabe.
You get me? So, yeah, you know, hey. People are polarized in opinions and whatnot. You know, I think that in life, I don't feel strong enough about anything that I can't listen to somebody else and hear them out.
Yeah.
I don't feel strongly about nothing.
But, you, I mean, listen.
I think si uno se cierra de esa manera, uno nunca puede progresar.
Bro, there's so many artists that I don't like that I still support.
Okay.
Because they're putting in the work and the effort and they're grinding towards their goal. And I still support them.
Yeah, even so if you I'm may not appreciate if, the art, but you appreciate
right,
the hustle.
Because at the end of the day, everybody has their own taste.
Right.
So even though you're not, like, for example, I don't like chocolate. I don't like chocolate. That don't mean I'm going to sit here and say, yo, I hate on chocolate. Nobody, don't buy chocolate. Chocolate is disgusting.
Because that's your thing. I don't like it.
I'm a strawberry vanilla guy.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that you think strawberry and vanilla is better.
Right.
You might like chocolate. I like strawberry. Does that mean that I'm right? The strawberry is better?
I'm glad that you have that mentality.
Yes, it's like, I'm saying.
But people do that. It's just
they
like, I can't stand
that
shit.
Oh, nah, this nigga like chocolate.
I don't need to push my beliefs onto you because I'm totally okay with my beliefs being my own.
Facts. Oh, Kid Ply like strawberry. He ain't shit. Damn.
Really?
Like,
really?
And a lot of
my
people,
God.
And
well,
a lot of people
like
do
that.
That.
People are polarizing like that. And I feel like, yo, you need to stop with that bullshit. Let people have their opinions, their shit.
But that's,
and not everybody has to motherfucking
agree
on everything.
Exactly.
No.
Exactly.
That makes good conversation. That makes
100%.
When you in a room full of everybody that's yesing you, my nigga, you just feel like.
Nah. We can have healthy disagreements.
Those are perfect.
Perfect.
Right? Because
why
you
we
gonna
gotta
agree,
agree
on everything is like it's
aburrido.
It's like you dictating, my nigga. You over here like, yo, what the
exactly.
Nobody gonna give me no motherfucking hassle about this shit, nigga.
Ya lo sabe.
Oh, diablo. Come la vida, diablo. Come la vida, man. Yo, I'm so happy that you came out here, bro. Look, I want you to feel like you're home.
Appreciate
I want you to feel like you're welcome to come through here anytime.
Appreciate
this is not
hookah.
Like a. We did the most. So. We did the most,
man.
But we got it going. We still got the other ones over there calentando.
Esa mierda se va a morir. Ya, yo terminé esto.
Yeah. Bueno. Yo, we still got a rest. Look, hey. Shout out to Tito's. Shout out to Tito's. Cut the check. All right, shout out to Tito's. We drinking. Hey, Diablo, casi I fucking broke this shit. Yo, all right, look, we're going to sign out. You got any last words that you want to motherfucking like, beep, 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 beep?
Nah, man. Hey, shout out to Song. Appreciate you having me on here, man. I appreciate it. The podcast is dope. You got a lovely setup, man. I wish nothing but the best to the basement, El Basement Podcast. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, whenever you want me to come back, man, I'd be more than happy to, man. I always want to support you, man. Hopefully you do great. if I could put your podcast on a higher platform, more visible for people to see, and get your podcast and your voice out there, man, I'm always here for you, bro. For real.
I appreciate that, like, for from sure. the bottom of my heart, I really do. Yeah. I don't want you to feel like this is, you know, like one of those things that, like, oh, because didn't get programmed. Man, tú me puedes caer. You know, you feel me? We start it up, we go. All right.
For sure.
Whenever you got something on your head, you know, you want to let go, you let it go out here, right? Sure. And you know, we got that music thing, you know, pendiente. I'm gonna play you a couple beats and shit like that. You know, little beats, you already know. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to another edition of El Basement Podcast. This is the first time we was live on Facebook. I gotta get the comments up and all that stuff next time, all right? But yo, check us out. All right, thank you so much.
Holla.
Ladies and gentlemen, goodbye.